Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here is your host, director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Well, I am so glad you guys decided to join us today. You know, we've come to that time of year when the skies start to look a little gray and there's a feeling of fall in the air. We know that Thanksgiving is around the corner, so is Christmas and New Year's and all those things. And one thing that I think this time of year, you know, we try to light up the mission, and we will after the Thanksgiving Day holiday, because I am still that guy that believes you shouldn't celebrate Christmas till after Thanksgiving. But so we'll decorate the mission, and one of the reasons is we want to have our little corner of the world, which is more in an industrial area than it is a residential area. And so we want to brighten it up and give the people on the street the feeling of the holiday. The holidays for us, and it should be for everybody, is not about the pretty lights, the Christmas trees, and all the stories. It should really be about the story, and that is the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without that birth, there could have been no unblemished life. There could be no atoning sacrifice, and we would still be in our sins. But praise God, that child was born of the Virgin, born not of the will of man, but of the Spirit of God. And Jesus left and lived a sinless, perfected life. You know, so many people think that Christ did what he did so you could be forgiven. That's not the case. Christ did what he did because it was the only way to pay the price, to pay for your salvation. Nobody could pay for your sins except Jesus Christ, not even you. And so the gospel is at the center of what we do at the mission. I've got one of my chaplains here, a person I consider my friend as well. And I want to encourage you, if today you're looking down the corridor of the holidays and you're feeling lonely and you're feeling alone and separated, ask yourself this: if you're claiming the name of Christ, are you involved with a healthy, well-balanced, Bible-believing church, or are you trying to be a secret agent Christian all by yourself? If you're doing that and you're only listening to somebody on the radio, then one of the things that you've done is you've done what the Bible has told you not to do, and that's forsake the gathering one with another. And so you need to get back into fellowship. Let the body of Christ, you love them and let them love you and let them minister to you and be part of the family of God, mm-hmm. not just off on your own somewhere. And then the other thing is, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, when I drive down the street to the mission, I'm looking at the people out there and my heart is hurting. It isn't just hurting because they're out there on the sidewalks, although that's part of it. I think of how it is when I get the flu or I get sick. I just want to curl up in a warm bed with, I don't know, hot chocolate or tea. Can you imagine what it's like to be out there on the sidewalk and have the flu in the cold and the rain and everything? But even more over than that is I look at the hopeless desperation on the faces of people who do not know Jesus, and for the most part, nobody cares to tell them about it. Well, we care at the mission to tell them about the atoning grace of our Lord and Savior. And so when you're driving down the street, be grateful to God if you are a Christian, not only for those material things, but more importantly for the spiritual blessing of salvation that you have if you are a true believer. And then too, even those things in material, a house you have, nobody, it doesn't have to be a mansion or anything else. But remember this, that humble abode you have is a mansion to somebody else. And so I think that we need to turn our reflections today on the holiday, not as a place where we're going to get stressed out by giving and getting gifts and, you know, squabbles with families. But let's remember what the origin is when the Christians of old decided to pick December 25th as the day to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ because we really didn't know when it was. But that's not the point. And so today, my friends, I want to introduce you to my friend Joe. And Joe King is a chaplain at the Union Gospel Mission. He hasn't been there a whole long time. I've known him longer than that. But Joseph, say hello to everybody.
Hello. How is everyone doing?
That was succinct. So, Joe, tell me, how did you even come to know about the mission?
Well, I come to know about the mission through three people, individuals. Would be yourself, Tim, my brother, Ernie King, and Pastor Robert Briggs.
Yep.
Those three persons have are the reason why I'm speaking on behalf of UGM at this time right now.
And I'm glad you are. One of the things I do know about him is he worked for many years at a retail grocery store until he retired.
Yes.
And yes, I knew Ernie King very well, and I still know him. We had lunch last year. I hope to do that a little more often. But still care very much about your brother. And I knew your mom, and she went home to be with the Lord, I am sure. And she was a very lovely, kind person.
Yes.
She may have beaten the boys as kids, I'm not sure. But the woman I knew was very gentle and kind. But Joe here embodies the kind of things that we're looking for, chaplain. First of all, and one of the most important things, well, the most important thing is his walk with Jesus Christ. Your Lord and your Savior is Jesus Christ, correct?
Yes, and amen to the glory of God.
How long have you been a believer?
About 30 years.
All right, so just round in the corner.
Yes.
So that's good. And so you go to IBC, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been a member of IBC since October of 1995.
Wow, that is quite a while. Oh, yeah, that was before Robert by 10 years, huh?
That's correct.
Yeah, how about that? Your brother was pastoring, or at least partially pastoring that church, right?
That's correct.
Yeah,
good. For 9 years.
9 years,
yes.
All right. And so Robert came in, and Robert is a wonderful guy. I find him to be a pastor and a teacher that cares and preaches the Word of God and does not compromise the Word of God. I'm certainly not the kind of preacher he is, but I don't compromise the Word of God either. And so are you a deacon or an elder at the church?
I am a pastor at the church at this time of going on 7 years.
All right. I'm sorry. I couldn't remember exactly.
Yeah. Before becoming a pastor, I was a deacon for 17 years.
All right. And so what are your kind of duties as far as being one of the pastors at the church?
My primary responsibility is to do oversights. So we'll meet with members and have oversights with the members of the church,
good.
Talk about how things are going, have any issues, any things to pray about, any concerns. So it's spiritual nature, and yet we try to minister to the soul with God's word and with the gifts that he's given to me to build up the saints in the most holy faith. Yes.
You know, I'm a Baptist, and so I understand the function of a Baptist church. It's
right.
Not the same in every church, but yeah. You know, a lot of times a pastor will be overwhelmed with visitations. There's so many people in his church. To get to everybody every year is just impossible sometimes. That doesn't mean that he doesn't have day-to-day interactions with them. He's not there. He's always there for his congregation if they need him. But to actually go out on a visitation, so you do some of that too, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, and that takes a little of the burden off, but it doesn't mean, like I said, in any way, that the the pastor at the church isn't involved in every congregant's life, especially if they need him. And so it takes associate pastors to do those kind of things. But at any rate, Joseph, what would even make you want to be involved with the mission?
With the mission? Well, I love people, and I love to serve. And the mission is tailor-made for the gifts and graces that God has given me to glorify Him in serving people, loving people, and I have a heart to genuinely help people as much as I'm able to help them.
I can attest to that being authentic. I can see it in his walk. I've talked to him a lot of times, but moreover than that is you can just watch a man and you know where his heart is. Was it a little intimidating coming to work for the mission?
Yes, but it didn't last too long.
Good.
Because I was welcomed, received. I felt like I was, like I've known many, many people at the mission as if I've known them for years, and I haven't. And I was treated like a king. I am a king, but but I was treated very well. And I really was blessed and so encouraged to see such hospitality shown to me. And I know that they were showing that hospitality to me, that that was rubbing off on other other parts of the ministry as they're serving our community, to see that being done. And it was just a joy to my heart to see that going on organically.
Yeah, and you know, even when I came to the mission years ago, I had volunteered down there for a long time. I know you volunteered down there as well. But there's still a little bit of trepidation when you step into something new, and really a homeless shelter and recovery center like ours is new to almost everybody. And so you never know exactly what to expect. You step into a place where you're going to be surrounded with men who have come out of prison, off the street, all kinds of different backgrounds. And just so you know, and I know Joe knows this, that we welcome everybody in, and they have to follow the rules that we have. But we get men that are Christians, or at least they profess to be. We get men that are absolutely not Christian, and make no bones about it. But an amazing thing is that the gospel being preached and taught there every day has a transformative effect on so many men that go through the program. And you're going to be a part of all that as a chaplain. Our chaplains understand what nuthetic or biblical counseling is. Could you explain that a little bit to the folks?
Yeah, so basically, as a chaplain, in our chaplaincy, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, the living Word of God, and we believe that it's perfect in every way, and it's able to bring salvation to the soul, and by the Spirit, obviously the Word and the Spirit, but also to guide the believer's life in a way that's pleasing to the Lord.
Amen.
And to serve in the kingdom of God, right? So to really root your mind, your emotions, your will, and believe that the Word of God is sufficient, and it's perfect, and it's authoritative in our lives to direct us in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And so our job is to be faithful to, as stewards, we are stewards of the Word of the Lord.
That's right.
And we have to be faithful to steward it to people. And so we ask God for wisdom. And, you know, God gives wisdom. It comes out of His mouth. And if we ask for it, James says, he won't
That's
abrade
right.
us for that, but He will give it to us generously, because God is generous. So we see here, we depend upon the Lord, and God gives us the wisdom that we need as we navigate people's lives.
Yeah. Years ago, a man named Jay Adams started praying and thinking and writing. He wrote a book, and it was about biblical or nuthetic counseling, with the assumption that the Bible had every answer that we could possibly ever need, housed between, you know, Genesis and Revelation. And he realized that pastors had abrogated their responsibility to counsel their people. But you can't just counsel the people unless you're trained to counsel them. And so biblical or nuthetic counselors are not simply just, they just don't pick up the Bible. And usually, even after they've gone through seminary and done all those things, there's still a training period on how to counsel men and women through the Bible. And so when you hear the word nuthetic, it really simply means biblical counseling. And so if you think that that is incorrect, if you read the Bible, you're going to find out there's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. They're not drugs, alcohol, promiscuous sex, mm-hmm. murder, mayhem. All those things are housed in the Bible and described. And Jesus, when he came, took the, you know, we can see it through the New Testament and clarified for us through the New Testament. The Old Testament to the New. Mm-hmm. And so when you sit down, would you say that one of the very most important parts to any counseling session is the prayer?
Of course. Yes. Prayer is absolute necessity. And actually is a sign of our dependency upon God. So if we really understand what God has called us to as Christians, and that God has given us his word, my word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, and we realize that if we are being responsible, right, and that we are seeking to please God and to, you know, commune with God, because it's communion as well, is very important. Yes, we'll mine the scriptures, because there's truth there that's so relevant for our lives, in knowing how to glorify God and how to point others to Christ. He is the wisdom of God, and so we are in debt. And we need grace, and we need the Word of God, and we need the Holy Spirit to ignite our affections for the truth that is in Jesus Christ and the gospel and the Word of God. And so, yes, I'm just privileged to know that we're all on the same page, right? That's it's right. God's Word, right? God created His Word, and God sustains His Word.
Yep.
And God has given us his word, and so we should never be ashamed of it, and we should ever seek to grow in our understanding of it, because it's not easy to come to the truths that we have been given. It takes hard work. It does take hard work, and it takes patience, and it takes a lot of humility. We need humility, and we need to stay teachable. It's very huge in ministry. If we tend to think we got it, we're in trouble.
We don't got it.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's absolutely true. You know, I have said, and I don't know if I've ever told you this, Joseph, I've said it to other couples and to people, that, you know, the Bible tells us that, you know, you now go work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I have told people that when I performed a wedding, I have never done this, but I could say to them at the end, okay, now I pronounce you man and wife. Now go work out your marriage with fear and trembling. Because as you put it, the walk of salvation, works is not a bad word. Works is only a bad word if you think you're going to gain salvation from it. Mm-hmm. You are saved by grace through faith, and this not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Mm-hmm. And so, but we are to work. After we come, you know, if you are grateful that God has snatched you out of hell through no merit of your own, mm-hmm. then you should be grateful. Amen. And so in counseling, there are many examples that we need to use for people. The man who sits down and tells me, you know, my wife does this, my wife does that, my wife does this, and is quick to point out that, wives, submit yourself to your husbands. I always would ask afterwards, did you keep reading? Do you love your wife the way that Christ loved the church? You willing to die for her even on a cross? Because I can guarantee you that if you're doing that, she's submitting to your spiritual authority. Amen. And who would object to that? Right. It's a dual submissionary thing. It's like if I'm looking out only for you, Joe, mm-hmm. and you're looking out only for me, we're friends, we're walking down the street, guess what? We're both going to get more than if we just tried to get it ourselves. Because my concern is that you're doing okay, your concern is I am. Yeah. And in a marriage, it's so much deeper than all that. Yeah. Again, lay down my life. Well, I was married from the time I was 20 years old until my wife went home to be with the Lord 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Robert came and did the graveside service for me. We've been friends a long time. And he did exactly what I would expect a man of God to do. He preached the gospel at the graveside. Amen. And still honored my wife and those things before my children, which is what I really wanted more than anything, was that they would hear one more time about the difference between those that go to a Christless eternity mm-hmm. and those who are in the hands and arms of Jesus Christ, right?
Yes.
And so it's not a little thing for us at the mission.
That's right.
We don't take the Word of God as being just an end to a means, or here's if we do A, B, and C, this is what happens. We need to be guided by prayer ourselves, mm-hmm. in counseling, through the Word of God, correct?
Correct.
And so right now, we have 2 minutes left, and then I'd like you to do another show with me. But you have had to counsel other people before you got to the mission, I'm sure.
That's correct.
And so it's a little different at the mission because you're dealing with kind of a different group as a whole.
Correct.
But they have one thing in common. They all need Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
So if you could get guys off drugs and alcohol, but you couldn't introduce them to Christ, would you want to do that?
That's correct. Yep.
You wouldn't want to be part of something that isn't 100% in Christ, right?
That's correct.
So there's everybody at the mission works very hard to present the gospel in different ways. We have counselors, teachers, preachers. We have finance guys. We have development people. We have the cooks, right. which is a big part. And even they start to grasp that they sometimes need to, not sometimes, all the time, need to be in prayer. We got 1 minute left. Anything you'd like to say, Joseph?
I'm just thankful to God, first and foremost, that He's saved me and also has given me gifts and graces to be exercised in the context of the mission, UGM. And what a privilege I have to exemplify Christ and to point others to Christ and to serve Christ, the body of Christ, and the mission to see God save people and to strengthen them and build them up in the most holy faith.
Yes, and until we meet again, my dear friends, may God hold you in the palm of His hand.
You've been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to ugmsac.com, ugmsac.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.